You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, where the Browns will return to practice in about an hour's time, getting ready for preseason game number two against the Atlanta Falcons. And joining us now on the Ohio Business Machines hotline is the voice of your Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be with you guys.
All right, Jim, first game, first impressions for you of the Hugh Jackson-led Cleveland Browns.
Well, I love the first offensive play. I mean, we talk about starting out with a bang. That was pretty terrific. When I watched the Browns in their first offensive possession, it was a real reminder of the Bengals offense. I mean, all that shifting that the Browns do. I mean, I've seen the Bengals do that with Hugh Jackson as their offensive coordinator. So there were a lot of similarities there. But, I really believe, guys, it's very, very tough to get any kind of rhythm going when you're in and out of the game so quickly. So therefore, I mean, I look for more playing time for key guys offensively, like RG3 and the running backs, and get some kind of form of a running game going, and the offensive line the same way. Just by just being in the game longer, I think, on Thursday night. So that's what you hope for there. But I mean, there were some signs by young defensive players that was very, very encouraging. Emmanuel Ogba, Carl Nassib made some nice plays. Eric Patterson had that pick down by the goal line. Jamie Meter continues to be Jamie Meter.
Very impressive.
Terrific player. So those were some of the things. But, I just look for these guys that I know are going to be playing and that we're counting on to play more and longer coming up on Thursday night. So that's the next step.
Sure, Jim. And after preseason game number one, what's your biggest concern? What was something that you saw either out of young players or maybe just on the limited reps out of RG3 or the defense that were just a little bit, made you a little uneasy that you hope to get fixed prior to game two?
Well, I was really excited, Matt, to see the young wide receivers because there were so many of them and the position was obviously addressed in the draft. And so I was a little perplexed about how late those guys got into the game in Green Bay. And I know Coleman was out, and it would obviously he's going to be in there very, very early, if not starting, when he finally does come around to play. But I was excited to see Lewis and Higgins and Peyton and in the game a little bit more earlier than they got in there. So I was puzzled by that. I mean, we got a very steady diet of Gabriel and Marlon Moore and Darius Jennings, and I know Nathan touched on Rinnell Hall, who had really earned the playing time, and of course we saw Pryor early. So I guess I was a little bit surprised and puzzled as to why those young receivers got in so late in the game, and there's been so much emphasis on, first of all, drafting them and getting them ready to play.
Yeah, and talk about those young receivers. Jordan Payton, one snap in the game. Ricardo Lewis, six snaps at wide receiver. Rashard Higgins, eight snaps, of course, did catch a touchdown from Cody Kessler. And then to your point, Taylor Gabriel, 18 snaps. Marlon Moore, 21 snaps. Pryor, 20 snaps. And you had Rinnell Hall leading all the receivers with 28. Now, Hall is out of the mix. I wonder if on some level they know. I mean, I think at this point, and maybe I'm speaking a little ahead of myself, Higgins and Lewis are locks to make this team, and Lewis showing what he can do on special teams that game as well, that maybe they want to showcase some of these veterans to give them an opportunity down the line if it's not necessarily with the Cleveland Browns. So I don't know, but I thought that was a very interesting story as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And you know what, your point is probably very well taken, that these guys got out there, they were remnants of the team from last year, and maybe some of them even a little bit longer than that, but mostly last year, and they got out there and they got a chance to show their stuff. But I definitely feel, and I want to feel this too, that these young guys are going to be a part of this, and they're going to be a part of it, you know, very quickly. If we're going to go down this road and really rebuild, then let's rebuild with the guys that we think are going to be kind of the foundations, whether it's offensively or defensively, but certainly at the wide receiver position.
Jim, when you were calling the game, two names that you kept mentioning on the defensive side of the ball, undrafted free agents, linebacker Dominique Alexander seemed like he was everywhere, and cornerback Tracy Howard. Were those the two guys that really kind of emerged kind of out of nowhere to most people for you in this game?
Yeah, you know, Nathan, we all watch college football, and I watched a lot of Oklahoma last year, so I saw him play with the Sooners, Alexander. And, you know, first of all, to see a guy like that go undrafted and get and the Browns sign him, you know, as an undrafted free agent, he intrigued me anyway just because of where he played and what that defense did last year at Oklahoma. And he did not disappoint. I mean, I thought he was exactly what you want in that position. He was a tackler. He was a guy that he found the football. He made plays. He was almost in on every play that was within the depth of where he was on the field. And you're right. It always seems like that position of defensive back, you end up with a guy that can really come out of the pack and separate from other guys, be they drafted guys or veteran guys, or in, as in the case of Tracy Howard, coming in there and really putting himself up front and really visible in the game. And that's how you do it. I mean, that's how Tashawn Gibson did it. That's how Kaywan Williams did it when they made the team. And Howard's off to a good start. Yes, those two guys really, I thought, you know, really jumped out because they made plays and they were around the ball all the time.
Jim, two other guys defensively that jumped out, and I think you probably are going to make mention of them here sooner than later, but I'll bring it up. Just, it seems Carl Nassib and Emmanuel Ogbah are worth the hype of where we drafted these young men.
Yeah, and because, you know, when we drafted Nassib and everyone looked at the statistics collegiately, and he had the one big year at Penn State, which was last year, with the 15 and a half sacks, and a lot of people said, is he a one-hit wonder? And the one hit came in his last year at Penn State. Would he be able to do that at the pro level? Well, I have to tell you, I thought he was. He not only made plays and hit the quarterback a couple of times, but he was in on a lot of other plays. I mean, he seemed to be a very tough block for the Packers to really keep down and keep quiet and keep away from what they were doing or trying to do in the pocket. So I was really pleased with him. Ogbah really looks like a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah.
And really goes side to side. The play that he made, I mean, he came so far over. He went coast to coast to come over and make a play. But his athleticism really is very visible. And I think, you know, people should really keep their eyes on him no matter where he lines up, because he just streamlines to the football. I mean, he has something that, you know, you just can't coach, and that is just this athletic ability that just shoots out onto the field.
It does. And Ogbah, and you had the great vantage point up while you were calling the game to see his closing speed on that quarterback. He just devours the field with his strides. And there was a stretch where he was around the quarterback, I think five plays in a row, he kept saying, and Ogbah with another pressure. Just a very good debut from him. I do have to ask, as it relates to Carl Nassib, could you hear him from up in the booth? Because he has a unique way of getting himself excited when he takes the field. He just starts screaming things that are probably not for children's ears, but he just gets out there and goes crazy.
Well, you know, once you made it clear that that was his tradition, I guess, I could see. I couldn't actually hear it as much as I could almost see it at one point through his face mask, and he was being very vocal. And I tell you what, that was terrific. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, and it was exciting, I think, to see those guys. And you know,
it was very exciting.
Because you want to have those building blocks on this team, and to see those young guys come out, I think speaks a lot to the coaching and also the quality of guys that they drafted. Was there anybody that stood out for you offensively, similarly to those guys on defense? And I know you had 40 minutes to watch the defenders and only 20 to watch the offense in this game, which hopefully is not a case going forward, but anybody catch your eye on offense?
Well, you know, it's a shame what happened to Ronnell Hall, because, you know, as you pointed out in the broadcast, he had really earned that playing time, and I thought he was making some plays, and of course he made the, you know, a couple of plays, and he made that one catch, and then he's injured and he's gone, and that's too bad. That's really a heartbreaking situation for that guy, because he really fought through a big crowd at wide receiver to obviously earn some very deserved playing time. I really thought Mostert had a very interesting night, because I think he goes at everything at a very high speed. And it burned him a little bit on the free kick that he fumbled off of his shoulder pads. But everything else, he was rewarded for his aggressiveness. I mean, he ran the ball very, very well. And he did other things, special teams, very well. But offensively, when he got in there at running back, I thought, Nathan and Matt, that he really set up his blockers a couple of times, tucked himself in behind them, and then exploded at the right time to get into the second wave and make some extra yardage. But I thought he really showed some great aggressiveness. And, you know, that's the kind of thing he's going to have to do. And he did it last year when he came to the team very late in the year. I always noticed that about him, that he hits everything at a high velocity.
Sure, he does. And you know what? I'm going to throw this out there, and I think this is more so for the fans, simply because Nathan and Jim, you guys were both on the team plane, on the team buses, at the team hotel, and then, of course, on your way back after, you know, a loss of this Hugh Jackson era. But just talk about overall the, and again, I know, Nathan, you mentioned on Friday, just the business approach to this trip compared to past regimes that you guys have both been on a plane and a part of.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was very businesslike. I mean, right down to the dress code of,
you know,
sport coat and things like that. But sometimes when you go on that first trip, it's like, you know, it's like getting in a line to get on a ride at Cedar Point. You know, and in the past, we've had a lot of different ways of doing that. But this was, this was very organized. You know, Hugh Jackson was very, very organized in meetings and the way the team was and where they were. On the plane, I mean, it was almost like, you know, there was a whole section for players, and, it was just take any seat as long as it's designated as a player's section. But, yeah, I thought it was, I thought that he did a very good job. It's always interesting to see how a team travels, if a team travels tight or overly loose. And I wouldn't say the Browns were definitely not overly loose, and I wouldn't say they were very tight. I think it was handled in a very business-like approach. And after all, if you break it down, that's what it's like. It's a business trip. It's a game, but it's a business trip in their profession. And I think, you know, that in once they really get this thing rolling, I think that will serve them well, because there is a certain way to learning how to win on the road, and it actually begins when you go to the airport and get ready. It's that mindset and the practice habits and the travel habits that will help the game day habits.
Of course, you all know that voice, Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, our guest right now on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. And, Jim, I'll say one place that I didn't expect us to really have a battle was kicker. I thought that would be Travis Coons.
Yeah.
But Patrick Murray comes out there and his lone opportunity boots a 46-yarder that looked like it would have been good from 56. And I think maybe we have a real competition afoot here.
Well, I think that's a good thing, too, Nathan. I really do. I think that obviously a very important position for a team like this. And I think last year Travis certainly won out and won the job, but his season near the end of it seemed to kind of lapse a little bit, and he had his problems late in the year on kicks of distance and elevating the ball. So I think he, just on that point anyway, it's good to have that battle. Now, Murray came in and really looked good the other night. He looked good on everything that he did, but he certainly pounded that field goal through. That, as you mentioned, it had a lot more on it than it needed to, and as far as distance was concerned. I think that's a good thing for this team, and I think it's a good thing for Travis Coons, and maybe he's going to win it outright anyway, but still, he's so early in his career that I think it's a very good thing and a healthy thing to have to win the job. Now, you know, for Murray, he might beat him out. I think it's something that you have to watch out for over the next couple of weeks.
I think it's going to be a very interesting storyline, but I don't think anything is bigger today in Berea than the return of Josh Gordon to practice. What do you hope to see when number 12 takes the field for the first time in seemingly forever?
Boy, it does seem like forever. I think it was December of 2014, the last time he played in a game, and I really thought he was a shadow of himself late in that season when he did come back and play those five games. I just think it will be great to see him back there and out on the field. And what he would add to that offense, if he's right and if he's ready to go and if he's truly changed, it's going to make quarterbacks, just the quarterbacks on this team, just really dance with anticipation of what they're going to be able to do, because he has that kind of ability, and it will help that offense a great deal in every facet, probably, because it probably will lend assistance to a running game, because people are going to have to respect the Browns passing game. And the ability to go over the top with a guy like Gordon, it's going to help the receiver on the other side who he lines up with. It's going to help everybody if he's right, because he has that kind of natural ability. And he's been away from the game so long that I hope he realizes what he's missed and what he has been given the opportunity to try and reclaim. I really think it's great. It will be a great story if he comes back. And when I took a look at him on Friday night after the game, because he was on the trip with us, I mean, it seems as though he's very eager to get back to being a football player again.
He's very eager, and I think the environment is very positive, and obviously his relationship with Robert Griffin III is an important part of that. And RG3, I think some good, some bad, obviously, in his first go-round, but I'm excited to see those two on the field together. And what do you hope to see from RG3 in more extended action against Atlanta?
Well, I just think, Nathan, the extension of his playing time is going to be even more eye-opening, I think, is what he's going to be able to do. I really think these quarterbacks, whether it's RG3 or any starting quarterback in the NFL, these first games are really something because you really kind of have to accelerate everything because you're on such a play count to get in and get out and get in and get out and stay unscathed and be healthy once you get out of there. So, I mean, I just want to see him, you know, settle in to extended playing time. And I know it's not going to be a lot more extended, but certainly more than he got last Friday night in Green Bay, and that he's able to make different kinds of plays. You know, he hit the big play, and then all of a sudden, they're right down there inside the red zone, and then he threw the interception, and then they had that missed handoff there. So that kind of interrupted things. So if he has more time, I think, to get himself out of trouble and to really get himself into drives and make different kinds of throws from different spots in the pocket and different spots on the field, that's the next thing I think a lot of people should really be very, very eager to see him as he kind of flourishes in this offense. And we see what we got here in Robert Griffin III.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that with his full complement when you get Coleman and Gordon and Pryor and Hawkins out there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch him. But he's got to get protected up front. There were some hits. There could have been potentially some miscommunication. I thought Cam Irving may be a little rusty, and I know a lot of eyes were on Irving and Shelton in their limited time there. But those are two guys that this team needs to come in and play at a first-round level.
Boy, they really do. And I think that, you know, the right tackle spot is something to really watch for. You know, I thought Pastor was pretty good, played a lot. You know, they did a lot of different things with Drango when he came in there. And, you know, as an extra blocker, an extra offensive lineman. So I think on Thursday night, for people that are going to go to the game, watch the game, listen to the game, certainly if you're there and you're watching it, you got to watch Cam Irving, and I think you need to watch that right tackle spot to see how the Browns are doing. And if somebody can really go out and claim, especially the tackle spot, and if Irving can settle in, because he's taking over from a guy that was exceptional there in Alex Mack, who will be in the stadium on Thursday night, that is a very critical position for this football team.
Yes, it certainly is. And Alex Mack, Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniel, and more will be in town when the Falcons come to Cleveland to take on the Browns this Thursday night in the second preseason game. Jim, thanks for the time. Looking forward to being on the call with you for that game this Thursday and getting it going again for the Browns and hopefully finding their first preseason victory.
Yeah, that would be great. Always good to be back at First Energy Stadium.
Yes, it will be.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, guys.
All right. Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily right after this.
There ain't no secrets anymore.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Look outside your door, just an old
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, very happy to be joined in the Dog Bowl by the man who had the lone Browns interception in Friday night's preseason opener against the Green Bay Packers, defensive back Eric Patterson. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, man.
All right, let's start with the big play, obviously that interception right there. What happened on that play? What did you read as you undercut that route near the end zone?
I seen it was his one receiver, and we've been working back shoulder throws all week with Coach Lou. So, and the Packers, they're a big back shoulder team in that part of the field. So I knew that it was going to be a back shoulder. So I just played my technique that Coach taught me early in the week.
And you got there, you got that ball. What went through your mind when you saw the pass and you knew you had a chance to get it, and then once you actually got it?
I was like, catch the ball. And I caught the ball, and I was like, wow. Then I looked up at the screen to make sure I got my feet in, and I got my feet in. It was just good to get my first interception in my NFL career, so, you know.
Yeah, it was a big moment, I'm sure, and your teammates mobbed you. They seem very happy for you. What's kind of the camaraderie like for you in that DB room?
It's good because, you know, usually, you know, when plays like that come, like, I usually drop the ball, so, like, catching the ball, you know, they were just on my side and just cheered me on.
That's why you're not a wide receiver then, I take it.
Yeah.
So that was your first game here with the Browns.
You know, what was that like with the preparation with Hugh Jackson and obviously your DB coach, Louis Chofi? What was it like getting ready for that game and then getting out there? And he played a good number of snaps, 33 snaps in that game, getting some extensive action.
It was great preparation. You know, Coach Hugh told us that, you know, that everything shares around here and it's just a winning mindset. And when we went out there Thursday, it was a great walkthrough and stuff like that. Mock game and Coach Lou, you know, he was just amping me up on the sideline, like, get ready, you know, go make some plays. And that's what I'm trying to do, make some plays.
And certainly you did do that with that interception. It's a fairly young room, but there are some guys. Tremont Williams, certainly a veteran. Joe Hayden, what's it like with that mix of all you youngsters and then a couple of veterans who have been very successful in this league?
It's a great vibe. You know, everyone helps everyone. You know, there's no one who thinks they're better than anyone. You know, you can ask Joe or Tremont, and they're always willing to help you with technique or just studying the game. So it's a great room in there.
Who's the funniest guy in that room?
Charles Gaines.
Does he ever stop talking?
No.
He was just, I saw him in the locker room after the game. He was just kind of holding court, changing very slowly. And everybody who went by, he had a comment for their fashion. What was going on?
That's him, and he's my roommate, so I deal with him every day.
You don't need an alarm clock. I'm sure he wakes you up.
Oh, no, I wake him up. But once he woke, he woke.
So what did Coach Jackson say to you guys after that game? Obviously, you wanted to get the win, but I think there were a lot of good things and obviously some things to clean up as well.
He pretty much just told us, you know, that we came to win. And that's the whole mindset, winning. And, you know, he just wanted to change the culture. So pretty much the locker room, like, he just let us know that we came, you know, and we played good, but we made a lot of mistakes. And, you know, we're a way better team than what we showed on Friday. So he was just pretty much just winning.
So you've been with the Patriots, the Colts, and the Rams. Why is the Cleveland Browns, why is that the right spot for you?
Because, you know, it's the right spot for me because, you know, it's just I like Coach Hugh and just the winning mentality, you know.
Sure.
He works you. And Coach Coffey and Coach Horton, you know, it's a great defensive scheme. And, you know, I can see myself fitting in here for a long time.
So you went to Ball State. Yeah. Was that a good time?
A great time.
Coming to the NFL, and here you are with Cleveland, and what better way to make an impression than to go out to get an interception in your first preseason game and certainly get the attention of the coaches. What did Coach Chofi say to you after that?
He said, good job catching the ball, you know. Cause like the whole
You're making it sound like you don't catch the ball very often here.
No, I do, but, you know, it's just like in the moment, like the whole series, you know, I gave up like two catches, so it was just like, come on, you know. And then for me to get that, you know, just – to get us out the field, you know, and give us the ball to try to go back and score, you know, it was a big thing.
Well, you've got to be resilient, right? I mean, this is another opportunity for you in the National Football League. And as you pointed out, I think there was one play, a third and long, where they were able to get a catch on you. And then to show that resilience and fortitude to come back for the interception, was that something that you were really excited about to kind of show that belief in yourself and come through when it mattered?
Yeah, you know, because, you know, with corner, you know, they're going to catch the ball, but it's all about your next play. You got to forget the play that happened before and just come back and make another play. So that's what I was just trying to do, just make a play.
And you certainly did. Now, in practice, you go against the Browns receivers, and that's a young group as well. Who do you like going against in those one-on-ones?
I'll probably say, like, Gabriel and Speedy, but, you know, he got hurt. So, like, there's pretty much guys like and Terrell Pryor because, you know, Terrell Pryor, he's a big receiver, so, you know, you can
get. Does he talk a lot of smack?
Sometimes, but in the beginning, he don't really talk anymore, but he used to.
Yeah. Well, now he's more confident now. He was trying to psych himself up there. Do you guys talk a lot of trash in that DB room? Other than Charles Gaines, we know Charles Gaines is talking.
I mean, yeah, we do. We do, but we just go out there and just let our play show for our trash talking.
Yeah. Have you been blocked downfield by Al Saunders yet?
Al Saunders. he's always right there receiving.
Have you ever seen anything like it?
No, I never seen anything like it.
Unbelievable, that guy. Unbelievable. So coming up this week, the Atlanta Falcons, obviously your second opportunity to go out there. What was the message from Hugh after that game in terms of getting ready now for this Atlanta game? What do you guys need to clean up, in his opinion?
Just getting off the field third down.
Yep.
More turnovers on defense, you know. Capitalizing on the sacks and opportunities, you know, when the ball comes our way.
You guys were on the field a lot in that game. by the way, on the defense, almost 40 minutes, but didn't give up one chunk play. They did not have a single play of over 20 yards in that game. Is that something that's going to be a part of this, like a little bend but don't break style? Because I know you're attacking as well with all the blitzes for Ray Horton.
Yeah, that's the big thing, you know, just a lot of blitzes, you know, and just giving the secondary, you know, time to cover, you know, so you can get back there. So as long as we hold up our job in the back end and they get pressure, you know, it's going to be a great defense.
All right, who's somebody that you emulated or looked up to in the game? Is there anybody that you kind of like tried to model your game after? Or did you have like a favorite corner growing up?
Growing up, my favorite corner used to be Ty Law.
Okay.
Growing up.
Uh-huh.
I used to always watch Ty Law.
So was that cool when you went to when the Patriots were the first team that brought you in?
Yeah, it was cool, you know, and it just did a lot of history on him, so I just learned a lot about him.
Uh-huh. What would you say your style is as a corner? Are you physical, shifty?
I'm a physical corner. I like to get in on tackles, you know,
uh-huh.
And just show that I got a lot of strength.
Lay the lumber. Right. For the people in the Dog Pound that maybe don't know you, aren't familiar with you, yet they saw the interception, they want to know more, what's something that you would want the Browns fans to know about Aric Patterson?
That I come and give him all every day, you know, and I'm working to make this team, and that's my goal, to make the team and just to be one of the best, like Joe Hayden, just be another Joe Hayden out there.
All right. Well, Aric, best of luck to you. Certainly a good way to start with that interception on Friday night. And we look forward to seeing what you do this week against the Atlanta Falcons.
Thank you.
All right. Aric Patterson, our guest here in the Dog Bowl. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily right after this here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm on a big day here in Berea where Josh Gordon makes his return to practice. He spoke with the media, and you're going to get a real feel why I think a lot of people are optimistic about Josh Gordon because of the environment created by Hugh Jackson, Sashi Browns, and this Browns organization. Here's Josh.
How big a day is this for you?
Oh, it's big. I think every day. Every day I'm back, it means a lot to me. And I'm glad to be out there. My brothers put my helmet back on and get back in the swing of things.
How much will you do right away?
I think today might be a light day, a little bit lighter than usual. So probably not that much, I don't think, for anybody. But I plan on taking a lot of mental reps and the most I could do mentally from the outside, I guess.
How's the quad feeling?
Oh, it's great. Quad's great. Best it's felt in a long time. Really good.
Is there any chance you play in the game first?
I'm not sure. Something you got to ask Coach Jackson, somebody else, but I'm not sure.
Josh, I'm just seeing you, you know, sort of pregame the other night, talking to Jimmy Haslam, goofing around with the other receivers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You just look really happy. Can you kind of talk about that?
Yeah, you know, something I haven't really felt in a long time. And once you know, you get that type of feeling, that type of vibe and environment, being around happy people, kind of just rubs off on you, and I missed it. And being back in it, you know, I love it, and I try to take full advantage of it, and I'm glad to be back, and that's probably what you saw there.
Are you sort of, you know, taking it all in a way that you didn't before, and maybe appreciating, you know, things that you might not have appreciated before?
I think definitely, you know, especially even in the preseason. A lot of guys don't take that seriously, but every opportunity to get out there, show what you could do, hurt or not, I think it means a lot, and guys should take it seriously. And I definitely do take it seriously. And I'd like to have fun while I'm doing here and while I'm here.
Hey Josh, all your teammates saying you're doing all the right things and going above and beyond. For you, what does that mean? Like, what have you been doing? Because we haven't seen you on the field, so away from the field.
Away from the field. I mean, like I said, it's a lot of mental reps. Really in meetings, you know, taking a lot more notes, trying to pick up the offense a lot quicker compared to other guys that's been here. They've been here a long time. So I got a lot of room to close that gap and pick up and hopefully play very soon. So it takes a lot of effort, and I think that's what I need to do. And I think it's good that I create the habit. So.
Josh, Coach Browns, when he was here, brought up your weight. Where are you at, and what do you have to get to?
Oh, man, I'm not sure where I'm at right now. I haven't weighed in. But there really isn't a number. Nobody really gave me a number. I kind of set an own goal in my head of what I used to play at. But I feel just as strong, just as fast as I ever felt before. if not stronger, if not faster. So we'll see how my production is, and we'll go from there once they evaluate and get some stuff on film. And at least I'll be able to tell how I feel once I get out there.
Do you think you'll naturally just lose weight by being more active now on the field?
Yeah, definitely. When your leg is hurt, you can't really move around. Being back out there definitely helped that. You sweat a lot, get everything out, and it'll help increase your metabolism. Yeah.
Right. You said you thought you already lost weight since you've been back. Is that true?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was getting working off the field and in treatment, workouts on my own and workout with the team. A lot more than I was used to. So, yeah, I've been definitely toning up.
What's the difference in your attitude and approach coming back this time around versus maybe 2014 when you came back from the 10-game suspension? Are you approaching it any differently, same way?
Man, that's such a long time ago. I really can't even tell you, but I know right here, 2016, I'm excited to be back. These guys are great. This opportunity we have here, it's like nothing I've felt before or seen before. And I really want to be a part of it. And I think just like Ms. Cabot was saying, just being happy around it, everybody feels differently. And you feel more enthusiastic about coming to work when guys are ready to commit themselves to win. And I think it rubs off on everybody. And I think that's just what the culture needs to be here. And I really bought into it. And I think the rest of the guys have.
Josh, when you came here originally in 2012, I think it was, you hadn't played in 2 years of college. And it's kind of similar now. I mean, are circumstances different? Is it unreasonable to expect you to make a quick transition to what you were?
And that was definitely a while ago. Circumstances different. Coming into the league, I didn't know what I was getting into. But now having experience and already playing, aware of how fast the game is and how physical it is, what to expect going in, I think I'm more aware. Which definitely helps. I think anybody will help in this game having experience. And so I use that as my advantage and help coach up the rest of the players and the rest of the wide receivers, whoever wants help, give them tips. But I think I can pick up pretty quickly.
Do you ever have any moments when you were going through this when you weren't sure if you'd be back out on this practice field
again? Almost definitely. No, the decision ultimately was not up to me. But you never really know. But I was hoping for the best, and I was blessed and given the opportunity to come back out here, and I'm grateful for it.
When Hugh and Sashi sat down with you after you were reinstated and just kind of laid things out, what was your message to them?
Oh, really? I was just I was really happy and glad that they were there for me, and they made it. It made it clear to me that they'll do everything for me to succeed here, as well for the rest of the players. And I think we got the point across that we need each other just as much as the other. And relying on that could help take us a long way. At least for me individually, I know it helps me for me to look and lean on them. If anything goes wrong, I'll call Coach Jackson, I'll call Mr. Brown, and they'll be there for me no matter what. And I really just think that sense of needing someone and having somebody actually there to help support you is great.
Josh, can you talk about, you already had a very good, close relationship with RG. Mm-hmm. You're developing one more so even with Corey. You've got a good friend here in Joe Hayden, and you and TP are really close. Can you just talk about the camaraderie, the friendship that you have here, and how is that helping you assimilate back into the team?
With Robert specifically?
Robert.
With everybody?
Yeah, with everybody.
It's great, honestly. I've been, the year I was suspended, I got to train with TP last year, his first year at receiver. In North Carolina, we were working out. So we built that bond a long time ago. A lot of people didn't know that. And we grew very close. And Robert, we go back a long time. And I think that'll be one of my best friends for the rest of my life. I can't say enough about that guy. Since we both came in the league together, he's treated me, like he would treat anybody, just as good. And Corey, he's a young guy. I've watched him growing up, going back to Baylor, looking at some games. Just being helpful where I could be helpful towards him. But I really think even more so outside of the Baylor guys and the guys that I know just personally, everybody's really like family here. It's like I said, it's a different atmosphere than what I was used to here and what it felt like. Guys are really close for some reason, and I think it's great, and I think we could definitely benefit from that.
Josh, it feels like when we talk to all your teammates, they all are willing to welcome you back and saying great stuff about you. Did you have any doubt that you'd be walking back?
I wasn't sure. I wasn't really sure how to, you know, how the mood would be for me being back. But like I said, I think it's just the environment, what they're trying to do here and lead this organization in a new direction. Negative energy is just not what we're trying to put out there. The guys already knew that, and I felt it once I got in there, and I was like, it feels great. They're welcoming back. It feels like home. And we're not looking back. They're not looking at my past. I'm not trying to look back towards that, and we're just ready to move forward. And I'm grateful for them. I definitely am.
Josh, speaking of your training, I know a lot of your time off. You know, you were training out of Exos, and then you kind of come back here, and you kind of, you know, you have the quads, so you got to start training again. What did you kind of learn about your own body and football shape and everything? Because it seems like a lot of your time away was spent. You were just out there training. What did you learn throughout that period about yourself?
Really just trying to be as ready as I could be to come here and get game ready as close as I can to playing in the game and not really trying to fall too far behind, if you will. But I was trying to prepare myself mentally, physically as much as I could, but nothing could compare as coming out here and working this hard, exerting that much energy. So I was really just trying not to fall off too far.
Josh, can you talk about the natural chemistry that you had with RG3 when you two guys were at Baylor and how fun it was to go and kind of light it up there together and how much you're looking forward to doing that again?
I think Coach Browse really just let us have fun. He helped accentuate Robert's gifts and his talent. You know, that was a deep ball, and that's what he really perfected. And I think he helped me with my game and learning how to run a deep route. And we really just have fun out there because that's just something we know how to do. He knows how to do it. I know how to do it for a long time. And coming here, they're letting Robert come into his own the same way. And I think it's good for him. He feels no restrictions, I believe. And they're working with him. And I think he's doing a great job. And I can't wait to be a part of it.
Josh, I mean, obviously working out without playing is different than getting out there playing and getting back in the grind. Are you at all concerned about what's going to happen with your body would you get back in the full-time grind?
Not necessarily, no. I feel as though if I take care of everything beforehand, prehabbing everything before it gets to any point, feeling tight or something like that, I'm doing as much work as I can in the training room to come out here and perform every day of practice as well as the game, and I'm taking as much time as possible doing that. Getting older is just something that you have to pay attention to, and having an injury that I had coming in, it's something that you really shouldn't take lightly, you know, because it definitely hurts when you get hurt, not only the team, but set yourself back too, so I'm on top of it.
Do you ever wonder if you're still the same player that went out and was able to get 16, 46 yards?
Well, I'm the same guy, definitely the same guy. I'm confident in my abilities. I know what I could do. I'm just given opportunity. And the right timing, right position, and the rest of the team, relying on the rest of the team as much as they rely on me, it's a great boost of motivation. And I think anything is possible for anybody. But I definitely am aware of what I could do, and I think I could build upon that and do even better.
I love it. Josh Gordon, excited to be back, still has the self-belief, but you could tell he just feels differently about the environment that he's in now compared to past ones. He specifically cited Sashi Brown, Hugh Jackson, what they said to him, and the close-knitness and tightness of the group of football players on this team stood out as something he just wasn't used to whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I love about this regime change. That's why, you know, you and I are so optimistic in looking at 2016 as a full-on development year. You know, some of these guys are going to be hungry for contracts in 17. And these rookies are going to be a year older, and then we've got another draft class that's going to be double digits again. And I think all the while, if Josh Gordon can walk himself out of that corner that he backed himself into, he can be in the mix in a very special time in Brown's history.
Absolutely, and that starts today, his first opportunity to step on the practice field since being reinstated by Commissioner Roger Goodell. The quad looks good. I got an opportunity to watch Josh, Corey Coleman, Joe Hayden, Seth DeValve all run around on Lambeau Field before that game, and Josh looked explosive as ever, just chewing up yards. I mean, he has such long strides, and he's so explosive. I'm excited to see him out there today. Don't expect much from him today, but I do expect to see that ramp up. Not sure if we'll see him against Atlanta. I bet we'll see him against Tampa, though. And then I think we'll see a lot of him probably against Chicago. So that's really his last opportunity to get out there and really work before he's ready to go week five.
And my hopes are that maybe Joe Hayden is on that same schedule, that we may not see them against the Atlanta Falcons. They continue to work. They do a little bit more each and every day on the practice field. Now that the media is it's not going to be open to the public and the media is not going to be there, we're going to see more of Josh Gordon. I think we're going to see more of Joe Hayden, you know, in some team settings, not just individual on the practice field, doing what the trainers and coaches need them to see to do. But then I wouldn't be surprised that if for Tampa, both of those guys may start the football game, and they'll be guys that we get out as starters maybe after a quarter of play just to get their feet wet. We'll continue to see that as, you know, the mock game as we approach September 11th, and the starters may play a half or into the third quarter, and then you get some of the veg. But I want to see that out of both of those guys.
I want to see it. And by the way, my dreams of a fourth quarter first down if Josh Gordon were on the field increases my chances, Matt Wilhelm, significantly.
Good luck.
Significantly. We'll be back wrapping things up here on CBD this Monday. The Browns returning to work today for the final training camp open to the public. Every ticket accounted for will be a full house. So far, the weather has held up its end of the bargain. Josh Gordon makes his return. Our final thoughts when we return here right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. The Browns set to take the field in about 20 minutes for their final training camp open to the public, and then it gets to all business. Atlanta on Thursday, the travel to Tampa Bay, a couple of joint practices with the Buccaneers before that third preseason game, the critical one, Friday, August the 26th. They wrap it up September the 1st, and then we're on to the real games. Big story, obviously, here today. Josh Gordon back. No word on if Corey Coleman will return to practice. Andrew Hawkins saying he's close, but he's got his eye on week one as well. And I think the Browns being smart with the veteran there. But an exciting day, I think, to see Josh out there. What do you want to see from him? What are you watching most? His conditioning, his route running?
I'm going to watch his route running. And I actually think to kind of back up his words and everything that we've heard kind of him say, and as well as his teammates say about Josh Gordon, is I want to see the reception of just him being one of the guys again and seeing it. And I think it goes back to the point that I said about Josh Gordon, is Josh Gordon fitting who we are, not us trying to fit Josh and missing out on another potentially big year like he had.
Yeah, I want to see it. Let's go. Get him out there. We'll see you today. We'll have the updates on that for you tomorrow here on CBD as we start to take a look ahead to the Atlanta game on Thursday. For our producer, Casey Kulis, for, of course, Matt Wilhelm, I want to thank Eric Patterson for being with us in studio. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.